Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Influence Unplugged. I am your host, Lindsay Watson, and I'm super excited to introduce tonight's guest, the one, the only, Veronica H. Moore. Veronica, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely, absolutely a pleasure on both sides. We are so excited to hear your story. And the reason why I say that is you are one human, but you do so much. You are a wife, a mother, a community leader, a community advocate, an entrepreneur, an award-winning social media influencer, and most recently, an award-winning author.
You got to make me laugh.
Yeah, well, and good. I'm glad, because this is really a space for us to be able to honor and acknowledge Black leaders in this community. Leadership can look so many different ways, but for the African-American community here in the Lehigh Valley, we need a space to be acknowledged. And so this is why Influence Unplugged is such a blessing. So let's talk a little bit about who you are and what brought you to the Valley. And then from there, I want to dive into your inspiration for being an influencer in so many different ways. So I'm setting the tone. Let's start with you.
Who am I? I am the daughter of Robert and Dolly Hunter. I am the youngest child of their three. I hail, born and raised from Chicago, Illinois, the Windy City. So I am a Lehigh Valley transplant and have been since, I'm going to claim 2006. Although that was an internship, my first year of graduate school, it was my introduction to the Lehigh Valley. Prior to that, my only knowledge of the Lehigh Valley is where my mother sent her Verizon phone bill check to.
Wow. We're going back.
And it had the address of Lehigh Valley, PA. I was like, that old Verizon building? Wow. Who would have known, right? Writings on the wall that I would be here living for now 18 years. So I'm an educator by trade. That is what landed me in the Lehigh Valley. I have a master's degree in higher education. I have been in that space for nearly two decades. So I want to mention that because that is the premise and the starting point of the entrepreneurial mindset and actually strategy and opportunities to exercise and flex my skills as an educator who has something to share in that industry, right? So when I was involved, and I'm still involved in the higher education field currently, I do still have a corporate 9-to-5 job. Many people don't realize that. And they're like, wait a minute, you're doing all of this and you have a job. I'm like, listen, got to fund the dream, right? Yeah. It's important for me to acknowledge that trajectory because it was those opportunities where I was going out and doing strategic planning and program reviews for other colleges and universities that landed me into that independent contractor realm, right? I was also an independent contractor and a facilitator for a higher education speaking agency. So I was doing all of these things, Lindsay, for, I mean, several years, 5 to 7 years. And someone said to me, you know that you've been an entrepreneur since you stepped foot in higher ed in 2005, right? And I was like, wow, no, I don't think that I really understood that, right? You kind of think of your mindset and your experience of what it meant to come and do work and go to work every day and clock out and clock back in. Yeah. When I thought about the influence that I was able to make with different communities outside of the one that I was employed at, it was like, wow, I'm making a difference and I enjoy this work and I enjoy helping others create impact. So that's kind of the footprint of what landed me into this entrepreneur space in the first place, right? So I got here in 2006, started my full-time employment at a local university in 2007, stayed there for 6 years, then went to another university in Philadelphia for 3.5 years before I kind of landed my foot into the nonprofit space 9-to-5 wise. So that's kind of the trajectory that landed me into Veronica that you know as the influencer, the community advocate, the community leader, the author, the business owner, all those things, right? If it had not been for my career in higher education, I would not be here. And for great mentors, right, who told me along the way, you have something special, you have a gift, and you need to share that with other people. And I ran away from that for a very long time until it's like, you're going to step into the space and nothing that you do will be profitable or impactful until you own your calling into this space of being able to inspire people and enact in them, you know, what they're possible of. So that's kind of who I am, how I got here, and I'm blessed. I'm very thankful. I'm grateful. And I have a lot of folks that help me along the way. This is no doing of my own. I'm a woman of faith. And so I am very, very conscious that my blessings are not of my own. And I have a responsibility to give back to others because this life is just not for me, right? It's for others to see themselves and what's possible. And I'm responsible for the destiny of other people through the way that I live my life. And I take that very seriously.
Beautifully said. I could go five different ways based off of what you said, but I think I'm going to go to the thing that speaks the most. You know, having been in the recruiting space and interviewing people almost 2 decades, there's a commonality with humans. I can't say it's men, it's women, there's no breakdown. We often have these amazing gifts that are so scary that we run for a certain amount of time before and if we actually stop and own them. And sometimes we start and it's a little bit of ownership and then it grows into more and more and more. And you see that. But you talked about shoulders that you're standing on and mentors and people who have helped you along the way. Can you think of one moment, one person or just one experience that caused you to say, enough with fear. I'm taking this fear and applying it to my faith energy and doing something. What was that moment like for you? And was there someone who helped you see it, or was it something that just clicked in you that said, okay, it's time?
Two instances, two very different individuals. One going back to the higher ed space and one going into the, you are going to do this entrepreneurial thing, whether you like it or not. So first I'm going to start with the higher ed space because that kind of propelled me into the belief that was necessary that I could do hard things, right? And that in order for you to grow, develop, and be successful, you need to be uncomfortable and you need to do some things that you don't want to do sometimes. Backing it up to maybe 2011, I believe that is the first time that I served as an executive vice president on an association management board. It was for the industry. And I was the type of individual, I'm still the type of individual that I prefer to be behind the scenes, right? I'm like, I'm going to make the magic work behind the scenes and nobody's going to know that I was a part of it unless I tell them or unless they, you know, make some type of broadcast. These were the individuals that are involved in this initiative. So I said, all right, I'm going to be a board member within this organization. This organization has given me so much. And I was one of the youngest board members elected. It's given me so much. Professionally, I want to be able to give back. The organization went through a huge shift where at a board meeting, we came to the conclusion, we have to dismantle the organization in order to get to where we need to be. So we're all sitting around this board table, right? And we're like, oh my goodness, we got to do this. We have thousands of members. Are they going to be ready for this change? And we have some courageous people around the table where it's like, whether we're ready or not, there is a clear path that we need to take in order to grow. So that meant we had to make some transitions in staffing. We had to let some individuals go and bring some folks on board through that transition period. And it was in that moment where we were like, all right, we just blew this up. Now we got to rebuild it. And that was my first kind of interaction of, you are building something from the ground up. This is going to mean something. You are a part of history. I'm a part of building an association management company. And I've never done this before, but all of the things that I've done that led me to this place of being a part of this executive board has prepared me to make hard decisions, to vet through the information, to make calculated strategic moves. And so I was like, all right, here we go. 4 years later, we stand in a place where we're like, all right, so now we have to make the next best decision and we need a new executive. I was told by my predecessors that, Veronica, you need to be the next president of this association. And I was like, no, that was not a part of the plan. I do not have any desire to be president of this association. And one of my mentors who kind of led me into this whole executive experience and telling me when I was just a graduate student, here is how this is going to work for you because I see something.
Yeah.
She looked me in my face and she said, you don't have a choice. She's like, you mean to tell me that you were a part of this whole process of stripping this organization down to the ground, building it back up, and you're not going to make sure that it continues to grow and go into the right trajectory. So I was like, all right, kicking and screaming, became the president of the association, became the first Black president of the association in its almost 40 years at that time. So that was one moment where it's like, all right, here's that shining opportunity to do something or not.
So it's something you said, Veronica. First of all, being the first Black women leader of an association, we want to acknowledge that, right? That's what Influence Unplugged is all about. But you mentioned working behind the scenes and being comfortable there. And it seems like everything you're doing now is not behind. There's no scene. There's nothing behind, because you are literally award-winning social media influencer, award-winning author, right? A co-owner of a very customer and community-facing restaurant and community center, because it's not just a restaurant, the Taste Smokers. So you've been catapulted. What was the adjustment like? And the reason why I'm asking this, we could talk for hours, but going from behind the scenes to now being at the forefront is a part of what I understand ownership of your gifts, of your purpose. What was that transition like? And what did you have to do internally to get comfortable, if you're comfortable, being in the forefront now?
I'm still working with the discomfort. If you give me a choice, I'm always going to go back to behind the scenes and what it is that I want to do. But when you have divine purpose and calling, you know that it's not about your comfort zone. It's not about what you want to do. It's about what's necessary and what's needed, right? So I did have to have a shift. I had to have a shift, and I knew that I was going into the right direction of the shift, but it wasn't until this author journey that completely snatched me out. And for me, it was like, I'm going to publish this little children's book. We're going to have some great time talking to the children. They're going to see themselves in this book, because I am hugely vocal about the representation of BIPOC authors and characters in books, so that our children can see themselves in the books. And children who do not identify as BIPOC need to also see these characters represented in the books. So I was like, that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave it there. And God was like, nope, that ain't it. You're going to help people bring their stories to fruition, because you, my love, have walked people through this beautiful journey of how you went from grief to publishing, right? Unexpected loss of my mother, still pushing through and moving forward with producing this book, because I knew that it wasn't just about the book.
Yeah.
It was about my healing process, right? And really owning that opportunity to face grief face to face, right? Like, not running away from it, not suppressing it at all, allowing people to see the vulnerability that was necessary, that things are going to happen. You're going to go through life. It's not going to stop, but you have to persist, right? And you have to move forward and keep going. So I knew that my story with publishing the book was more about that. And I'm very vocal about that publicly as well. So I had, several individuals. How did you do it? What was the process? And I found myself continuing to give them information, coach people through the process, tell them it was possible, demystify all the things that they'd had in their head about why it couldn't happen. And so that was the moment in which I was like, okay, that one time when your sorority sister whispered in your ear during the gospel concert in college and told you, accept the ministry, accept the calling. I had the calling in my head as something totally different, right? Mm-hmm. And ministry for me looked like something and experienced like something back then. But now I know that through my entrepreneur opportunities, that it's more than just what you might see portrayed in the church, on TV, through people that you talk to, pastor conversations, whatever that might look like. Ministry is personal, and it needs to meet people where they are. And I've been doing this for so long, and I'm like, I've been doing this ministry work for a very long time, and I didn't consider it that, because I had in my head what it was. So when I finally understood and said, I'm ready, and doing that has allowed for me to do things like this without fear, without worry, because 15 years ago, you couldn't put me in front of the room or in any platform like this where I did not feel such trepidation, right? I was like, oh my goodness, there's so much fear and anxiety that I have with being able to talk in front of people.
Yeah.
And something that has gone away. Of course, I still have those trembling moments where it's like, whew, time to get, time to perform.
Yeah.
But it was once before that that mentality crippled me, right? And so that moment switched for me very early on, and I didn't realize it. But when I was encouraging other women to pursue their passion and their purpose and overcome fear, that's back in the Alma and Eva days. If you've been rocking for a long time, you know about Alma and Eva. But it was that moment where it was like, this is the point in which you need to live by example. So that was the starting point. But then the author journey kind of snatched me.
This is, to me, the reason why I wanted to have you here as a part of this journey. It's one thing to talk about our accomplishments and our achievements, and there's space where we have to do that. But the inner workings, the things that have either gotten in the way or the things that have been a part of who we've always been, but get discovered in different steps. Your story, I think, is going to encourage a lot of people who are right where you are, you know, hiding behind the scenes, but really supposed to be up front, or thinking that feeling nervous or afraid is a qualifier for not doing when that's not the case, right? Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you sharing the behind the scenes of your journey and your heart and how things have evolved, but also, to me, clearly painting a picture as to how it's all connected. Careers, your education, you know, everything. So you are most certainly a light in this community, and I want to give you a space. Would you mind sharing just quick social medias where we can go and follow and support you?
Absolutely. You can follow me by going to my webpage. It is www.veronicahmoore.com. You can find me on Instagram, Brown Skin Plant Mama. You can also find me on Facebook, Veronica Moore, and that is with a verified check mark because I need you to know that that's actually me that you are interacting with. And you can also follow our catering and our event space page, thetastesmokers.com and Taste Smokers on Instagram as well as Facebook.
Thank you so much, Veronica. We're going to make sure we're sharing your socials on all of our posts as well. Everyone, this has been Influence Unplugged. This is Influence Unplugged. We are Influence Unplugged. We're so happy that you joined us to tune in. Please make sure that you continue to stay tuned as we continue to celebrate Black legacy here in the Lehigh Valley. Until next time, I'm your host, Lindsay Watson.